just got back today. Them wild night boys that had been away haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living down.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Elder Dragon Durable Podcast. You've been listening to Thin Lizzy and the Boys Are Back in Town. And this is me, your host, Igor. With me is, as always, my host, Niksha.
That's me.
And we have a special guest back from Pits of Warp, I guess. The man who we already had an episode with, but the recording sucked so much that we had to scrape the episode and just bring him back right away now. So, mysterious guest, who are you?
Hey, I am Peter Jura, the guy who writes Nixithid Goes to Town, the funniest magic blog on the internet.
When it gets updated. When it gets updated.
When it gets updated, yes.
Which is once in a blue moon, I think.
Good things come to those who wait.
But I'm impatient. Anywho, I've been following Peter's blog for years now, and about December, I think I've seen, or January, I think I've seen his post about best cards for EDH from 2015. So I was like, I gotta have him on my show. I just gotta try to contact him. And for some reason, he was like, hell yeah, I'll do this, not knowing how dirty we are. Anywho, so what is your blog about, actually?
My blog, it's mostly just my random stupid ideas about Magic the Gathering, given that's really the best way to describe it. I started based around a tournament report that I did a long time ago. Or the blog just features my own take and perspective on Magic. I have random Photoshop comics there. I've got articles there, and you know, combining Magic and dick jokes, and that's really pretty much how my blog comes out. It came about when I was just getting into Legacy. Many, many years ago, I'm no longer really a Legacy player anymore, but I had this deck that I built of my own accord. I couldn't afford to buy Sinkholes for a Suicide Black deck at the time, which was within the Legacy metagame, so I swapped to Smallpox because, well, it still kills a land, doesn't it? And then I'm like, wait, I think I'm onto something here. So I built a Suicide Pox deck, which was kind of my own design. It played Nixithids of all things, which I love. Time and it came together. I was like, yeah, this is really good. I posted pretty good results for, and I was like, fuck yeah, let's do this. And at the time, there was the local game store and the Magic community that I was invested in. They had a habit of, you know, producing tournament and publishing them online at the local game shop. And so I thought, yeah, fuck it, yeah, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna smash them all, I'm gonna write the best tournament report ever. And so I went to the tournament all geared up, and I got my ass handed to me. I lost like all but one matchup, and I was like, fuck this. I told everyone I'd written, I was going to write a tournament report and everything. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm going to write a tournament report where I just completely had my ego and everything decimated. Fuck this. And then I thought, fuck it. I said I would, so I still did. And instead of writing like a tournament report, going, yeah, yeah, I'm the best, I'm like 50,000 people on turn one, blah, blah, I decided I'd turn it into a comic. So I got, like, existing Magic artwork and, you know, photoshopped the Nixithid, because it's, like, kind of missing the entire right side of the artwork. I kind of had to invent what the rest of a Nixithid looks like, splice it all together, and turn it into this comic. Because I was learning Photoshop at the time, and I figured, well, it'll be good practice for me at the same time. And that got posted and was easily the most successful tournament report that ever got posted on that website. I'm like, yeah, yeah, everyone's like, do another. And I thought it was hell fun. And it spurred me to have ideas for more comics and more, you know, random articles and things like that. So at that time, I just thought, fuck it, I'm going to start my own blog where I can publish literally whatever I want and I don't have anybody yammering down my throat going, you can't publish this. So I did. And that's kind of how my blog got started. I think at the time, if there's one thing I'll change about my blog right now, it's the fact that it's called Nixithid Goes to Town, which at the time, which was around, you know, obviously just after Conflux's release, everybody kind of knew what Nixithid was. Now, it's like years and years on from those sets, No one knows what a Nixithid is. So I don't know if people find that blog by accident, if it'd be more, you know, more viable if it was Ulamog goes to town or Nicol Bolas goes to town or just something more more universal. But at the moment it's like, oh yeah, cool, Nixithid goes to town and that's it. And that's kind of how my blog got started and what's it about.
So how long was it ago? I think I seen it in like 2012 for the first time.
Oh man, was whenever Conflux got released, which was
2008, 2009, something like that. No,
it would have been a little bit after that. I think I would have started it in 2011 because the first article, because I have like a yearly habit of writing my top 10 favorite cards of the year article. And the first one I wrote was top 10 favorite cards of 2011, which means I would have had to start in 2011.
Nice.
So yeah, it's been about 5 years I've had that thing running out, running at maybe an average of 0.75 posts per year and still maintaining a fan base. So
I'm feeling really old right now.
You
it's
and
been
me both,
that long, damn. And by the way, if you're going to check out anything on that blog, just find the picture of Nicol Bolas in a scuba diving suit.
That was pretty popular.
That's really worth it. That and the DJ Kolagon you did. Which my girlfriend adores.
Yeah, it's a good way to exercise, you know, stupid Photoshop habits. Because I fell in love with Photoshop. It's kind of like, you know, I feel like it's my wife sometimes. I spend that much time in it. Sometimes I have, like, dreams and I see the Photoshop.
I'm now scared to ask, what do you Photoshop exactly if that's your wife? So let's just go
to something
else.
Well, let's move along, actually. It's a...
By the way, could you link the DJ Kolagon somewhere in the show notes so we could share it with the listeners?
Oh, of course. I'll link the article. Good plan.
Yeah, sure thing. And let's do a weekly tradition now and just go over our commanders of the week. So, Peter, go first since you're the guest and all that.
Awesome. Okay, commander of the week. I've been riding the Azuri Claw of Progress train pretty much. He's been released. But I think it's time to have a break. And so I don't really know, I can't really say who my real, I don't know what I'm really, really passionate about, but I was happily playing my Jared deck last night, and I haven't pulled out Jared for a long time. So I had a good time with Jared and ended up winning like a five player game out of Jared. So I won't have to go with Jared.
What horrible things does he do in your deck?
The whole deck's about building the biggest possible creature and then draining the fuck out of everybody.
So Lord of Extinction and all that.
I don't own a Lord of Extinction.
Really?
I've never owned a Lord of Extinction.
That's
so
weird.
Lord of Extinction. For a long time, though, my favorite card in Magic ever was Lurgoyf. So every deck for a while was just an excuse to play another Lurgoyf. Like back in the days of Ice Age, like 95, 96... Believe it or not, Lurgoyf was actually fucking insanely good. It was like the Tarmogoyf for the time. So, I don't know how or why I fell in love with Lurgoyf. I started collecting Lurgoyfs. I think I own about, I don't know, 60 individual Lurgoyfs. But Jared's one of the places where I still feel warranted. It's not such a good card these days, but Jared's one of the places I feel I can play a giant Lurgoyf. So I did that last night after like 50,000 back and forths and sweepers. I played like a 50-50 Lurgoyf, killed like everybody except the Karlov player in one sacrifice, and it was like, well, okay, yeah, I'll just like reanimate this Lurgoyf and drain you again. It was good. It's good.
Fun times, fun times. Miksha, what about you?
Oh, I'm going to go with Karador.
Of course you are. So what degenerate thing did you do this week?
Nothing much, really. I just like playing him and, you know, he's just such a value general, and I, since I play only permanents in it, except one card, of course, it's, I don't know, it's just, he's really fun to play. He's really fair, except for one card, and that's that thing. I'll actually forgot about it again. That sorcery, you know.
Good podcasting.
Yeah, we established this last time.
We established that every time.
Primal Surge.
Oh, that thing, that little thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've been on the receiving end of that a couple of times.
But this time I almost made a combo with Ah! there's that two mana, two black, two creature with trample that when it enters the battlefield, you discard your hand, and it has that many plus one counters on it.
Oh, that Thought Devourer, or whatever it's
Thought
called.
Thought Gorger.
That's it.
And I discarded my 7-card hand on it, and I'm always happy to discard my hand
yep.
on anything. And then I played my Obnixilis, and he got to 8 counters.
Oh.
So all I had to do was get to my turn, reanimate the sacrifice outlet for my Thought Gorger, and just sacrifice it and make somebody lose a hell of a lot of life.
Ouch.
But just as I was going to do that, a Cranko comboed out and killed us all.
Of course he did. I mean, your meta is really interesting in that shop you're playing.
Yeah, that's because we started having monthly 1v1 tournaments, and most of the people that were like into casual just casual playing EDH, they turned to that. So yeah, that's
how Nixilis was it, by the way?
The good one.
Oh, the Planeswalker. The Planeswalker.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, which one?
The new one.
The one Obnixilis.
Oh, the new one. Yes. Oh, there's two.
There's
the original Planeswalker one from the Commander format, who I think is even better than the Demon one. It's the one where Obnixilis is still a dude and he's got that retarded ultimate that gives you that stupid Slave of Bolas style emblem. And I'm like, you get to 8 counters on that, you're just winning. That's it.
I don't know, I think that the Zendikar one is a bit better, honestly.
I've played with both, and I'm still standing on the Commander one. I think he's easily one of the most awesome Planeswalkers of all time for multiplayer.
He likes blue, so I'm going to go with nah.
But he draws a card, so that's blue. So that's enough blue for you.
I still really love the Teferi from the Commander set. People just underestimate him. People underestimate him so much.
He's good, but I find him underwhelming.
What kind of deck are you playing him in?
Sultai Super Friends.
He's not good in that. I used to run him as the commander in a mono blue big deck.
I've heard he's there's some sort of stupid infinite combo where you can.
I think there is, but I haven't used it. No, I just used him so I could power up great Leviathans, Eldrazi, and Omniscience and things like that.
Yeah, he's pretty good for that. It's his second ability that's stupid.
Yep.
The untap 4.
I just ignored his. I had so many opportunities to ultimate with him, but I ignored it.
I usually ultimate with him, given the fact I'm doing Super Friends. So it's I might as well ultimate.
I had like 2 Jaces and him in the deck, so no point. Yeah. Plus, I just want to untap things, and that's it.
Yeah, my deck runs like 12 Planeswalks, I think. I think he's pretty good with Kiora, because you ultimate with Kiora.
Which one?
And then the first one. Oh. And then you kind of just lock down one piece every turn, and then you're like, well, fuck off, I'm winning Krakens now, so screw you.
People are going to die.
Yeah. That's probably one of my favorite planes of all time. First Kiora.
Yeah, you seem partial to the Simic.
I think I am. It's like, in all those personality tests, you know, you do those personality tests, build a U, I usually show up as Rakdos, but a lot of cards I like seem to either fall into I would say Simic is my favorite non-Jund color.
So I think it's time for me to actually go through the Commander of the Week. My commander will be the general I haven't built yet. It's Jorian the Ruindiver, but I'm slowly getting pieces for that. She arrived in the mail, so did the new Jace, and Brainy Najjar and Tamiyo's Journal. And it's slowly building itself up. You know what's the problem? When I get all the cards from the Puka trade, only thing I'll be missing will be basic lands. Because I had to leave my collection behind me when I went to the seaside to work for the season. So I'm like, god damn it. So I think I'm just going to buy the Izzet Precon from Commander 15 when I get the first paycheck and just mash that together with this.
Sweet.
And later I might even put some kind of a Storm team. Nothing infinite, just, you know, a lot of Storm to get a lot of Goblins or something like that. Or Ignite Memories for like 10.
Yeah, Ignite Memories.
Yeah, Nixia didn't even know that's a card until last week when I showed him to him. He was
is that the one where it's reveal a card
yep.
and they take damage equal to its converted mana cost.
Yes, and then we remember the match we all saw it in. You know, Nassif vs. Shapen, 2007. Have you seen that? Have you seen that match?
No.
So, we'll repeat this for your sake. So basically, they were both playing the Storm deck, the Dragon Storm.
Yeah.
And Nassif had 9 life and one card that was 5 mana, that was the Glad Memories. And other 4 cards were either 2 or 1 mana. And Chapin stormed off for 5 copies, I think. And if Nassif revealed the Glad Memories just once, he died, mathematically.
Yeah.
All 5 times, it was 1 mana cost.
Whoa.
And then the next turn, he stormed off.
Wow.
Yeah, that's one of the most memorable matches ever. You really need to see it.
Yeah. I thought one of the most memorable matches I ever saw, I heard about it, it was like some urban legend that was floating around when I was playing Legacy, and I just thought, I got to see if this really exists, but it does. And there was some video of, like, I forgot who it was, I posted in one of my very early articles on my blog, if that video is still around. It was a Legacy tournament back when Show and Tell was the big thing. It was some Show and Tell, some really pro Show and Tell deck, fighting off against just like a janky Battle of Wits deck.
I know the match.
Yeah, turn one, the guy goes Show and Tell Emrakul, and in his thing he goes, oh, Show and Tell, I'll just get this Battle of Wits. The Emrakul player's like,
it was
turn one win.
That was an SCG, so I can actually find it easily.
Sweet.
That's really stupid deck.
Which one?
The Battle
Both
of Wits.
Them, really?
No, the Battle of Wits one. That's really, really dumb, and it worked for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why, but it was wonderful. I was watching the footage from 2009, I think, something like that. Really, really old.
Yep.
But
props to that. Props to anyone who plays the Battle of Wits.
No, I was like, how does he shuffle this? That was the first. Because I think he actually double sleeved it.
Wow.
I think he actually did. So he got like 2 piles.
It's a strategy for like stalling for time. You just play a Battle of Wits deck with every fetch land you can.
No, you do that when you hate judges at the event.
You make a singleton.
Of course.
Singleton Battle of Wits deck, and then you get randomly selected for a deck check, and then everybody hates you.
No, you get randomly selected. They look at you. Let's randomly select again. I pitied the judges who have to deck check that.
Luckily, it's not a competitive deck, so nobody plays it.
I really want this to become a competitive deck just so you can suffer.
Well, if anybody's going to suffer, that's my fellow judges, because I'm going to play that deck.
Okay, that's a point. That's a point. God damn. Oh, anywho, Niksha, you kind of had a topic for us, I think.
Yeah, coming back to that Ignite Memories thing. I want to hear your opinions on randomness effects in Magic. Is there enough of them? Are they
fucking
fun
love
enough?
Them. Yes, they are fun enough. The more random, the better. You can't play them everywhere, but I fucking love them.
That's a man with opinion.
And I remember one draft. I managed to... it was a Theros draft. All 3 blocks, I think.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, all 3 parts. All 3 sets.
Yeah.
And I managed to draft, I think... 2 Whims of the Fates.
What's Whims of the Fates do?
Whims of the Fates is a 5 and a red sorcery that says, starting with you, each player separates all permanents he or she controls into 3 piles. Then, each player chooses one of his or her piles at random and sacrifices those permanents. Piles can be empty.
Wow.
And my strategy was play it and put everything I have into 1 pile.
Did it work?
Yes. Actually, that has a higher chance of succeeding. So if an opponent strategically places his permanents into 3 piles, then he loses things no matter what. If I put it in 1 pile, I can either maybe win the game or definitely lose the game.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Wow.
And yeah, it works. It worked every time. I mean, I did it twice, so yeah. The third time I should fail, but these 2 times were a hit.
So basically you have a really big sample size.
Yeah.
Two whole games.
I like it when things are like, you can't really do it very often, but I like it when you have the really random stuff. Like, one of my favorite combos in Magic is Confusion in the Ranks with Grip of Chaos.
Oh.
What?
Ouch.
What even happens?
So, Peter, what those two cards do?
Okay, Confusion in the Ranks is a red enchantment that costs 5 mana. Whenever a permanent enters the battlefield, such as a creature, artifact, land, or enchantment, this is pre-Planeswalk time, it swaps control permanent of the same type another player. Oh, I play a creature, I'll exchange control of it with your creature. So, you know, I play some random. I generate a random kobold with kobolds of Kirkkeep. It'll swap for your Tarmogoyf. Things just swap. Then Grip of Chaos is whenever a card is going to be whenever an effect has a target, if it's got a single target, so we're looking at, you know, Swords to Plowshares, Visara the Dreadful activated ability, things like that. Whenever it's got a single target, that target is chosen at random from all legal targets. So when you combine the two together, whenever a permanent is on the battlefield, it swaps for a random other permanent of the same type. It's beautiful. I still have this deck. Like this, I used to play casual multiplayer for a long time before gradually in EDH. I've just never updated the deck to be an EDH deck. But I had it was just a dick around deck. It did nothing specific other than just play cards like that specifically cock up the game. I could never really play it more often than every 6 months because my playgroup would rage quit if I did it, except for one friend who's just everybody's mad at me. But it played every single possible card that did something stupid, and that was the foundation. You mix it up with Micahs and Ladders, so everything's an artifact, so every permanent swaps with another random permanent of the same sort. Then there's then one of the cards I absolutely love was Shared Fate, where everybody plays the top card of their library, and you can only play the top card of other people's libraries. So you start casting spells at random from other people's libraries. what was it? Knowledge Pool is stupid. I can explain what that does, but it's a massive, colossal headache. Knowledge Pool. There's a card I was playing with Unsets. There's a card called Topsy Turvy, which makes everything run in reverse. So you have your discard, second main phase, combat, first main phase, then your draw, then your upkeep, then your untap, and you reverse the turn order too. There's this other random card called Burning Cinder Fury of Crimson Chaos Fire or something, which is whenever a permanent gets tapped, it donates itself to an opponent at the end of turn. So because everything's randomized from chaos, every time you tap something, it donates itself to a random player. What else was there? Those are the crux. Then you have like silly cards like Warp World that just change everything. Thieves Auction. I think Thieves Auction was when we had a game going for like, you know, it was going for like 2 hours, and the game was just so gummed up. Nobody could attack because there was like, because every turn there's stuff like Genesis Chamber that automatically generates tokens whenever something else happens. So those things start swapping for random permanents. Nobody could decide who owned what. Stuff like Gate to the Aether, which is put the top card of the library, top card of everybody's libraries onto play. So stuff that automatically generates permanents, stuff that swaps for other permanents. I believe that it was, I remember when I was playing this deck at the game store, I had like two level 3 judges. They were like the highest judges in Australia. They were both in the store at the same time. I was playing this deck, and I mean, you know how Grip of Chaos and Confusion of the Ranks work. The argument was, what happens when there's two Confusion of the Ranks?
Oh, God.
It's like, does one permanent swap for two, or does it swap and then swap again? I got these two judges into a massive argument with each other. So, anyway, apparently I've heard if you build this deck in Magic Online, the game crashes. I'm yet to substantiate that claim, but apparently it crashes the game.
I mean, it's Magic Online, so no surprise there. Ponder used to crash Magic Online, so I'm kind of disgusted right now with that deck.
It's either disgusting or a work of art, depending where you sit. I'm on the work of art because
why not both?
Yeah.
I can appreciate the beauty from far, far, far away. Not being nowhere near that game.
It was lovely. I even had this card, this uncard called Enter the Dungeon.
Oh no.
I managed to convince everybody to do that. I was like, right, that's it, guys. No, we're not continuing until we do this under the table. We're doing it.
Oh no. You could have been a much bigger dick and just copied that spell a couple of times.
Pretty much. I had the idea of the ultimate deck for EDH for a while. It was like, for a while, like, you all know Charizard, right?
Yep.
Yep. It was, for a long time, Charizard was legal in EDH.
For some reason.
For a very long time. For some reason, the format it can do the absolute most damage in, it was legal in for a long time.
Yeah, I know.
It was crazy, and I never bought one, because it's like, you know, $45, which is an awful lot to spend on a card, especially when you're a student. But I had the plan of, well, you know, you have a deck, you play Charizard, you start a sub-game. Then you cast Burning Wish in the sub-game. Because the Charizard's still in the regular game, it goes in, out of the regular game, into your sub-game. Then you cast it, have a sub-game in the sub-game, you go Cunning Wish for Burning Wish, get your Charizard, and then by stacking then Ring of Maruf and everything like that, and Death Wish, by stacking all these wishes, you can go into like Inception level and drag it all the way down, see how many sub games you can get. And then there's, you know, let's not forget Eye of the Storm or Hive Mind, or just plain old Mirari will do enough damage, but just as many sub games as you could possibly have in one game.
That's how you lose friends, by the way.
That bad list happened.
Speaking of random cards, what about Possibility Storm?
I haven't had enough experience playing with it, because I only really played super random cards back, back when I, before EDH, when I had the opportunity to play that. I like the card. I haven't played enough with it. It seems fun. As far as like random funky stuff that I play in EDH that doesn't really do too much damage, I like Guild Feud. I've had a lot of fun with it. That card's cool.
Guild Feud is fun if you're running big guys.
Pretty much. I had it in my Cedrus deck, so it's just absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting it for the Cedrus deck.
I recommend it. It's easily the most fun card in the deck.
Oh, I have it somewhere in my junk cards back home.
Yeah.
But Possibility Storm, that really hoses combo players.
I guess it does. It's just the only people I know that ever play that card are Melek players, because, well, they can.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
People used to usually play it in Mishra, Artificer Prodigy as well.
Okay.
Because it enabled them to actually, you know, do their thing with the commander.
I still don't understand how Mishra works as a commander.
It's really convoluted.
Yeah, the only Mishra deck I've ever played that ever really seemed to do vaguely anything was a deck that played like Praetor's Grasp for Sol Ring. And so you Praetor's Grasp the Sol Ring, and well, okay, now I get to cast my Sol Ring too, and I'm like, that's an awful lot of effort for another Sol Ring.
I mean, you can also use a lot of things, like Nether Void if you have that amount of money.
Yeah.
As funnily enough, on a Magic Online, it's really cheap.
As some things are, I guess.
Yeah, Nether Void is like under $1, I think, or it was at one time on Magic Online.
What, Nether Void's $1 on Magic Online?
Something like that, something stupidly cheap.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Nether Void is for 3 and a black Enchant World.
Oh god, it's horrible.
Yeah, I'm just reading for the listeners, because not a lot of people actually played against Nether Void. All spells are countered unless you pay an additional 3. That counts for everybody.
It's like mana leak.
Yeah, everything is mana leak.
Wow.
Yeah, cards that make you want to play Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah, that's Nether Void.
I mean, Nether Void is backbreaking. That's why it has such a price tag. Plus, it has been printed like 6 copies. So.
Yeah.
But, Miksha, got any more random cards?
Is there any way to turn cards in your hand that are not artifacts into artifacts?
Don't think so.
In your hand.
No, I don't think there's a way. Why?
Oh man, because then Mishra with relentless threats would actually work.
One of the things that works with him also is bot funnel. Non-creature spells you cost 2 less to play. Whenever you play a non-creature spell, counter that spell unless you sacrifice a creature.
How does that come?
If I remember correctly, you cast the spell, let it be countered, and then something happens, I'm not sure what.
Oh, wait.
Oh yeah, you switch to a graveyard as well for the...
So it's just like pretty much...
You cheapen your...
Works, yeah, it's two. It's like a heartless summoning on everything.
Yeah, something like that.
Ah,
he actually can work really, really well, but it takes a while for him.
Yeah.
Plus he's really artifact-based, so things like Tezzeret and Darete work really good with him. And that asshole...
Yeah, anything that can actually remove your spells from the stack and put them somewhere where he can tutor it, that works.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
I mean, you just make a Grixis artifact deck with, like, Arkham Dexon and Dereti and things like that. Metalworker, if you have the money for that.
If.
Plus all the Mishra stuff, like Bot Funnel, Nether Void, if you have money for that. Or
yeah.
Possibility Storm. Because things like Possibility Storm don't affect you as much when you're playing Mishra.
I guess so, yeah. I can see that happening.
I kind of want to make it right now, that deck. I don't have all the money in artifacts, so in the past.
I just remembered one combo I accidentally made.
Yeah?
While playing my Zedru, I played Wild Evocation, so...
That's the card that makes you cast cards.
Yeah, it's a 6 mana enchantment that's 5
and
a red.
Yeah.
Each player at their upkeep, they cast reveal a card at random from their hand, and if it's a land, it goes to the battlefield. If it's a spell, they cast it. It's not a may, they have to cast it. And then I Curse of the Silence one of my enemies, and they were stuck at their upkeep. If they reveal the spell, they cast that spell, and they can't cast anything else that turn.
That's disgusting. Oh, wow. That's dirty. Oh,
and
I love
it. By accident.
But it happened.
It happened.
That's beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, those unintentional combos are the best thing.
Yo, it's great.
Yeah, so... Any more random stuff?
No,
but random cards aren't really played in, competitively, right?
For a reason.
Yeah, they are random. What about coin flip cards? Because they're technically random. I think coin flip is great. I've never built any EDH deck based around coin flips, but I used to have a coin flip deck that was... I used to have two, actually. One that was kind of aggro clips that played stuff like Molten Sentries and Wild Worms and cheap red dudes that relied on a coin flip to stay in play. If they stayed, obviously you got a pretty good deal, the coin flip. And there's a card called Impulsive Maneuvers. Do you guys know it?
I think I remember it. What does it do?
It's whenever a creature attacks, you flip a coin. If you win the flip, it deals double damage. If you lose the flip, it does zero. If you combo that with Krark's Thumb, it's pretty much double damage for all your guys, and screw you for all the guys coming at you. So it's pretty good. So I had an aggro deck based around Krark's Thumb Impulsive Maneuvers. Other than there was the standard, chance encounter decks, which you find all the time. But that was good. I had a good time. And like Carplusen Minotaur. That's
He's an awesome guy. Carplusen
Minotaur, yeah. It was like aggro, just spam out as many coin flips as you can, and Carplusen Minotaur and Krark's Thumbs and burn them all the time. That's another judge argument that happens all the time. Carplusen Minotaur and Krark's Thumb. You know Krark's Thumb is whenever you flip one coin, you flip two instead and pick one or the other. Carplusen Minotaur is just cumulative upkeep, flip a coin. So you're flipping double the number of coins, but it pings you whenever you win a coin flip. Which one counts? Is it only the flip that you win, or is it both the coins? And you can get judges arguing forever about that too. So if you want to piss off judges, you can play Battle of Wits deck, flip Krark's Thumb and Carplusen Minotaur.
So, Miksha, what does happen when you play a... Miksha.exe has crashed.
See? Perfect.
Wait, whenever you win a coin flip, But Krugstomp says?
Krugstomp says whenever you flip a coin, you flip two instead and pick the what result you want. But Kaplus and Minotaur says whenever a... Hold on, I'll look it up. It's like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, you ignore one. When,
yeah.
I have them both, and whenever you win a coin, but this says if you would flip a coin instead, flip two coins and ignore... No, yeah, I'm pretty sure that he only triggers off... If they're both heads, he only triggers off one of them because one is completely ignored and doesn't count. It's because it says ignore one.
Yep.
So there we go. Nixia is cool. Somewhat of a competent judge.
Yeah, because it's a replacement effect.
Yep.
Ooh, fancy words.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, cool. I know words too.
So I think we exhausted the random cards. Let's move on to the D&D thing that Wizards have posted.
Yes.
So basically, the Wizards have copied the Vanapool and their RPG idea, but they put it in the D&D world, basically.
Copied the Vanapool?
So the Vanapool, a long time ago, made Zendikar role-playing set, something like that. Just as an April Fool's joke, and recently they actually made characters. Brian made the whole set. Not based on D&D, but, you know, his own thing.
Oh.
So it looks like Wizards were like, ah, let's do that, but we have copyright to D&D, so might as well cram it in there.
Yeah, I know. I played D&D some time ago.
Nerd.
And I'm pretty sure that a lot of Magic players that play D&D, they always try to make a Magic setting. I mean, I tried once in Ravnica. Because it's
my friend
like
wanted to do that too. Oh, yeah, I agree. Ravnica is the best. My friend tried to. He wanted to have a D&D game like based in Alara, and he started writing this giant campaign about it being set in Alara, and this being D&D, you know, nobody ever got together to actually play ever, and blah blah blah. But when I saw that they released a D&D port, I thought it was fucking awesome. I thought it was great. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, I thought it was one of those kind of ticking clocks, the fact that Wizards owns both IPs. It was a bit like, when is it actually going to happen? I just never expected it to happen so soon or so subtly. But I'm all for it. I don't know anybody who would, you know, D&D's just a bitch in the ass to organize in any sense. So I don't know who would be up for it, because it's clearly one of those things where it's like... you'd play it if you are invested in both games. And the people I play D&D with now don't play Magic. And the people I play with Magic now, it's like trying to get them together for Magic is hard enough. So getting them together for D&D is just be a nightmare headache. But it's a very interesting concept. I'm wondering, should I explore this further?
I mean, only thing I actually role-played was a little bit of D&D, but much more of 40k role-playing games. So I'm like, D&D was never that much of a draw for me. They don't have bolters and chainswords, so what's the point? Nick, are you willing to say?
Yeah, that one of my friends once made. We were going through a D&D campaign, but he used Ravnica as the setting, and none of our other friends played Magic, so they didn't get anything, but I got all the jokes he did. our main hub for exploring and getting quests was the Pivlicinos, yeah.
Of course it was.
Nice.
And I was like, yeah, great. We even had an arena there.
Of course it is. That's the main draw.
And there was a thing that if you would like quick travel around the city, or if you would go to the so if you went through the city, there was a chance, a slight chance that you run into Borborygmos, and then he takes you back to his clan. And the chance was greater if you walked through the forest areas.
I mean, of course. So did that ever happen, or...?
Yeah, that happened. It was fun.
You gruel now.
Oh, that's...
I want to play that right now. Even if I have to, you know, play D&D. Just experience that.
It'd be good.
But you as so Peter, you as a D&D guy, how does it actually seem to you?
What, Zendikar or playing D&D?
Zendikar, the whole Zendikar thing that they released.
I like it, because it's like, for one, it's a free port. There's nothing really, there's no kind of giant commercial push between the moat and the IPs. It's one free kind of port, and it leaves people's options open. I think in a way, what the in the book that the Wizards actually released, to go with it, you would need a solid understanding of the plane of Zendikar, which means you should go buy the Zendikar art book, which I did anyway, which is great for that matter, as like kind of a source book. But it doesn't interfere in either game too much. Like, it simply says, hey, this is what it is. It's not really tested, but this is what this is. And then if you want to use these kinds of monsters, then simply substitute these existing 5th edition monsters for them. And I'm like, yeah, actually, that's kind of cool. So your real life Eldrazi is stuff like Mind Flayers and Aboleths and weird creatures like that. And I'm like, yeah, it fits. You know, you just use the rules and stats of those things for the larger Eldrazi than the actual Titans like Ulamog and Kozilek would be stuff like, you know, the really big ones from D&D like the Kraken or Demogorgon. And I'm like, yeah, that's really cool. So I rate it. I'm curious and I'm interested. And I think it's a good move by Wizards. I think it's, in a way, it's a big move. And if they did this for every individual block, well, for the ones that needed it, I guess, Innistrad and Ravenloft just too similar to each other. They might not bother there. But if they give us like a Ravnica supplement, I'd be like, shit, yeah.
That would be really awesome. The Ravnica one. Awesome.
Yeah. Because as far as I'm concerned, everyone likes Ravnica. It's their best setting. So
everybody loves Ravnica.
Yeah. Did you guys read the Ravnica books?
Yeah.
I read the first one.
I read all of them.
I thought they were the better books.
Yes, they were. They weren't written stupidly, like, you know, Quest for Karn and things like that.
Oh, I think I tried reading the Odyssey books and I was just like, what is this? As far as magic books are like books written by Jeff Grubb and everything else. But as far as the everything else thing goes, Ravnica books are probably the best of the everything else.
Antiquities are also okay. The Brothers War.
Oh, the Brothers War is the best. Those are the books really written by Jeff Grubb. Brothers War and the Ice Age Trilogy, those are the four books that this guy called Jeff Grubb wrote, and they are the best ones.
Yeah, we love the portraying of every character in there.
Yeah, Brothers War is the best, without doubt. And the Ice Age Trilogy follows on from that. Yep.
How did that good of a story come out from those crappy cards? I'll never know.
I don't know either. I know they had it. I know they had this in the back of their mind when they were building this stuff, when they were building the Antiquities set, because that was really the first Magic set that had a story attached to it. That's what they wanted to experiment with. I don't know. It worked. I thought it fucking worked.
Yeah, but when Mishra had all his, you know, those colossal machines, I was like, holy crap, this must be so awesome. Then I checked the cards. Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Wow,
I know.
I'm disappointed.
It's a bit of a disappointment. But
Boner is extinguished. Yeah, but I have somewhere on the PDF those books, and they're really, really good.
Yeah, fantastic. Highly recommend.
Yeah, everybody should read those if you're interested at all in magic lore.
Oh, yeah. Did you read Ice Age as well?
What are the parts of Ice Age? I don't think I have.
There was the Gathering Dark, the Eternal Ice, and the Shadow of the Light.
I just read the Gathering Dark, and it was an awesome book. I just couldn't find the 2 or 3.
Ah, right. They're hard to come by nowadays. My friend had them, so he gave them to me. But I thought the Gathering Dark was awesome as well.
Yeah, they have a really good representation of how mana works.
Yep, definitely.
Basically, you have a memory that's connected to the part of the land, and when you cast a big spell, you sacrifice the land, right?
Something of the sort. I read it a long time ago. I just remember being very good. And then I checked, oh, this is the same guy who wrote The Brothers War. Yep, cool. This guy's a wizard.
On the other hand, we have books like Tito Vacuum and Quest for Karn. You don't want to read those books.
No, you're right, I don't.
Nobody should read those books. That should be a torture method in prisons or something like that.
Yeah, you've got a choice between waterboarding or the Teeth of a Coom. What will it be?
Teeth of a Coom, I guess? On the other hand, Tito Vacuum would last longer than waterboarding, so...
I know, it's the thing.
I'm not sure. I'm sad that they aren't giving us any more magic novels, but I think that the story is covered up real good.
Yep. Yeah.
Only thing I mind about the stories now is the official name of the whole thing. Uncharted Realms was so good of a name.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's the official magic fiction or whatever.
What?
Or official magic story, something like that.
Since when?
I thought it was always Uncharted Realms. No.
It stopped being Uncharted Realms a couple of months ago.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where does it know?
Oh, you're right. I'm looking now. It says Magic Story. Oh,
yeah,
right.
Magic Story.
What?
Huh. They did it so you could search it more easily on the site. Yeah. Because their site is stupid.
Well, why rename it? They could just make it less bad.
Oh, trust me, people were having an uproar about that.
Oh.
Not as because of an uproar as for the pros thing a couple of weeks ago, but you know.
Yeah, obviously.
I don't know, I care more about the name of this than about pros getting paid. I know that's a stupid thing to say because pros make this game much, much more, you know, exposed. But I really like the name Uncharted Realms.
I like it too, and it's like I didn't notice it was gone, but it's like it is just a name technically.
But still, it's such a good name.
It is such a good name, but I mean, if they had to change it, okay.
God damn it! Right. It's, maybe they should have just made a better site, you know? Because their site is confusing as hell.
Yep.
It seems like it'd be really good if you were, you know, accessing it from tabletop or tablet or something.
I think that's probably just what most websites, everything's on tablets now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what they did. So
and it's ugly as hell.
Oh, well. No. I actually go to MTG Salvation anyway, so that's all.
I haven't been on that site in years, I think.
Oh, really? That's where I get all my rumor news. It's like when rumor season pops up and I don't have anything much to do, I'm just like, rumor mill. 5 minutes, refresh.
I just go five on Reddit and that's it.
Reddit's good. I'm so used to hanging out on a rumor mill. I'm like,
oh well.
Yep.
Then that's being accustomed to the thing side. I was never big on MTG Salvation. It's a good side, but I was like, eh.
I use it for the spoilers.
Yeah, that's it. Spoiler season. It's like the first week of spoiler season. It's just like I'm not doing work this week. That's all.
And again, Reddit is my source for information for that. But I don't know the. Community sometimes seems a bit too toxic on MTG Salvation.
I get that.
Especially on competitive parts.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I usually just don't bother reading those things.
I mean,
Salvation's the best for it.
If I can recommend anything from Salvation and EDH part, it's the primers.
They're good. They're very good.
They're really good primers.
Yeah, people usually post pretty good primers on that website, so yeah. I approve.
Yeah, that's where I was looking, the whole Mishra thing.
Uh-huh.
The guy has been updating it for a good while.
Have you guys ever written a primer?
No, I don't know cards that good. Plus, I use more budgety options often than not, so...
No,
when I was still in Legacy days, I had like a mono-green natural order deck that actually did very well.
Oh.
I was gonna do a primer for that up until I just decided to quit Legacy. So I was like, oh, no, screw it.
Why did you quit Legacy?
I just stopped having fun with it. I wanted to play Magic the way I wanted to play it. I wanted to actually be able to cast, you know, cast big creatures. I wanted to cast dumb spells and things like that. I mean, my Legacy Natural Order deck was pretty good in the fact that, you know, I could happily go to town with Hornet Queen and Palakawan and stuff like that. But, I mean, I can't get away with Mind Leech Mass. There's no fucking way you're getting away with Mind Leech Mass in Legacy.
Yeah.
I want to play a format where you can play bloody Mind Leech Mass, where you can play dumb shit like Guild Food, where you can get away with stupid big dragons and etc. And you don't have everything interrupted by a fucking counterspell or a Swords to Plowshares.
Force of Will!
So that led me to, I just, you know, played casual multiplayer, and then when EDH popped up, it was like, well, actually, you can play this format's even better, because, you know, you're the whole variety variety that happened from having 100 singleton cards as opposed to 60 times 4 of. Because at the time, our format, our little group metagame was infested with Coco Bombs. Like, I play Kakusho! I play Kakusho! Kaboom! You know,
yay!
Oh my god, like having a 5-player game where 4 people are playing 4 times Coco in their decks, yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely nuts.
That was the old legend rule.
Yeah, that was the old one. He just kind of Coco was insane. But then we ended up into EDH, and that's how I stuck, really. It's like we're actually having a lot of fun with tiny leaders, to be honest.
Wait, that's still a thing?
Tiny leaders is still a thing, and we're really enjoying it. Multiplayer tiny leaders.
Isn't that against the whole philosophy of tiny leaders?
Probably, you know, but it's hilarious. Yeah, it's so fun.
I mean, at least
standing
like
by multiplayer tiny leaders like crazy. It's awesome.
At least 5 people in the world are playing tiny leaders, I guess.
Yeah, true.
I think you're the last few. You're the last few.
It's hilarious fun. I know tiny leaders is not meant to be multiplayer, but it's really fun as multiplayer.
It seems like Tiny Leaders wasn't meant to be a format.
After playing, I was really skeptical. I'm just like, on Tiny Leaders, you don't get to play, like, I don't get to play Mind Leech Mouse, screw this. But playing it, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
multiplayer Tiny Leaders is hilarious fun.
It seemed fun, and then nobody played it.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm enjoying games of Tiny Leaders more than I am regular ADH now, to be honest.
Well, you know,
I took convincing, but it, I think it's great.
For me, it was more like, I was interested in Tiny Leaders, and then I realized how broken a few generals are, and then everybody was playing them, so no thanks.
Like what?
Yeah.
Like Animar. Animar, I think, is the best.
Okay, Animar is always the busted one.
Are you playing one-on-one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. We have about, I'm playing, my deck's pretty strong. I'm finding, like, the strongest decks in our thing, Karlov, Marath, and Zira. And I'm the Zira player because I play Jund Control in all formats, and it was like, that's like my main EDH deck I've had around for maybe 10 years, so I kind of just changed it into a Tiny Leaders deck. And they're the generals that are currently doing the best in our group. I own an Animar. I have never really been motivated that much to build with it. If I did, I'd just go into Animar Hydra ramp, because big creatures are very, very good format. Because you have a 3-mana converted mana cost, so it's pretty much the biggest creatures every game are going to be Hydras. But it's great. I really like it.
I had an idea of making an Ambassador Laquatus Tiny Leader.
Yeah.
Since everybody has 50 cards, that makes them that much easier to mill out.
Yeah, my friend's playing Jace. Jace, what's it called? Flip Jace, whatever that 0/2 thing is that's been
Yeah, Rune's Prodigy.
Yeah, he wants to upgrade that to Ambassador Laquatus.
Okay.
Build decks are okay.
I think this is the first time anybody said, I'm going to upgrade my Jace Rune's Prodigy into Ambassador Laquatus, seriously.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but you can use things like, what's that enchantment? Sphinx Tutelage, also.
Yeah, that's like the best card in that deck. You just kind of like, you remove it. It's like, that's one of those, I'm killing that card now.
One moment, I'll be right back.
Righto. Yeah, but I haven't thought about Tiny Leaders in a long while.
Man, we only started getting into it maybe at the end of last year, but it's proven to be really, really fun. The one thing I really like about it is the fact that in EDH, you're kind of building up to do these big plays.
Says you.
Those big plays are going to get, well, that's me, yeah. Get interrupted, so he's like, oh, fucking hell, you screwed my shit up. With Tiny Leaders, there's not so much of an investment. You just kind of, because everything costs, like, a standard tiny little amount of mana, you're like, oh, well, okay, I'll just cast this. Oh, I'll just cast this. It's more back and forth.
I mean, welcome to my Alesha deck. Basically, it's all small things.
Yeah.
How would she be as a commander? She would be okay, I think.
In Tiny Leaders?
Yeah.
She's really popular in Tiny Leaders.
I mean, I can see why. She gets everything back.
She's really good. One of my friends has an Alesha deck. It's not very tuned, though, so it's easy to beat.
I love her in proper EDH. I really love her.
Yeah.
when I can play stupid things like Master of Cruelty, so Blinding Angel or Todd Gorger that you mentioned before.
Yes.
Todd Gorger is an all-star. Oh well, I guess I'll discard my whole hand.
Yeah.
Plus, Demonic Collusion is the best tutor you can have in that deck.
Of course.
With buyback
yeah,
cards.
Yeah, Demonic Collusion's always been pretty good though.
Yeah, but in this deck specifically, okay, I'm going to go to main phase, get two things I really want, get a thing I really want, plus get two creatures I want to have in my graveyard, just be there.
Any deck with Reanimator does it well. Yeah. I played Demonic Collusion when I still had Blade with the Risen EDH deck. I played in Cedrus, I played in Jarrod, it's great.
Mm. Yeah, by the way, speaking of dragons, my girlfriend yesterday played a game of EDH back in Zagreb against four people. It's a four-people game. She did like 115 damage to, you know, the whole table spread round.
Nice.
Turns
out, around?
All around, you know. Not to each player, but, you know, spread round.
Yeah.
That, which was more than enough to kill everybody, because Kolaghan is a bastard. Also, Prosh is a bastard. She almost had a Tarka as well in the play, but she didn't have enough mana, so he had to kill them all. Wait for a turn. Yeah, and I managed
I'm back.
To... Oh, hi. Where were you going?
I just went to fetch my Ambassador de la Quetta, Stein Leader, that was stuck under my Ramirez de Pietro EDH.
That's still in the making. Ramirez de Pietro EDH. That's awesome.
Yarr.
Yeah, I was thinking... There's still a discussion whether I should use him or Skeleton Ship as a commander.
Ramirez.
That's epic. That's epic. I don't care. I think that I like Ramirez just because I like Ramirez more because he's so old. I mean, Skeleton Ship is pretty old school too, but I've seen Skeleton Ship done before, and it's probably easier to get. Ramirez is just like, haha, I'm a pirate.
The whole deck is a pirate.
Yeah,
that's great.
Get pirates. Coastal piracy and, you know, every artifact that has cannon in its name, because you need cannons for your ships.
So what is it?
Treasure hunt?
Treasure trove, hedonist trove, piracy charm, greed.
What, and no treasure cruise?
Yeah, there is also treasure cruise.
So
do you release the Kraken?
I used to play a deck like that, but, you know, with pirates and krakens, but
yeah.
I want to stick with just pirates, because it's, krakens are like a win condition, but that's not fun having a win condition when you can have none.
So, guys, what is the pirate's favorite letter?
What is the pirate's what?
Favorite letter. Letter.
R, of course.
R.
Nay, it'd be the C. This one was horrible, but I love it.
Oh, that was good.
And then I killed Peter.
Yeah, that's it. I'm out, guys, I'm out.
That was a deadly pun. So, how often do you play that pirate deck?
Oh, no, right now it's not in function.
Aww.
Because I'm still waiting for the Commander 2016 deck to come out. Because... we know that the blue-black one will have two commanders that everybody wants, everybody needs, and they should have been a dual deck from the start. We're going to get a pirate and a ninja.
Mixture is confident. I gotta give him that.
They have to make it. They have to do that.
Do they? I mean, I would love if they did it, because I'm getting a blue-black deck anyway, whatever they make, because I love blue-black as a color combination. But if they put ninjas and pirates, that would be awesome.
They need a legendary rhino. I mean, I think it's time for a legendary pirate and ninja.
I mean, Rhino Tribal is so popular, so, you know.
Yeah, it's super popular.
Everybody has a rhino deck.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, and I told this story to Miksha, but... you know what, what's that stupid game called that you guys play with boosters? Flippin' and Rip-It, right? You know the game.
No, I don't.
So, Nixha, explain that stupid game to Peter.
Well... No. It was... I'm not sure in the details about how it started, but it's basically a challenge where one guy opens his there are two guys. One guy gets a pack, and they shuffle the cards, they don't look at them. And then the owner of the pack flips a card. They're face down. Then the other guy rips a card. And then the owner flips a card, and then rips, and then... And it goes so back and forth until all the packs, all the cards in the pack are either flipped or ripped.
Do you mean ripped as in ripped in half?
Yep. Yes.
Oh dear.
So, the reason why we explained this game, because people were playing that stupid game, and somebody ripped thing in the ice.
Oh.
And I was like, I told my girlfriend, she was on WhatsApp and we were messaging, she was like, somebody flipped this card. I was like, can you get that for me? She was like, yeah, sure. So now I have a torn thing in the ice that I'm just going to go up and put in Jorian, because I'm not paying $10 for that.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's horrible.
I mean,
it could have been worse. It could have been like a misty rainforest.
I've actually seen a Godless Shrine expedition got ripped.
Oh no. Oh, yeah, wow. That's horrific.
I saw also a video where a guy... They were playing Flip It or Rip, and then he flipped a Goyf, and then the other guy said, well, that's not right, and he took and ripped it in half.
Oh. Well, that's the rules. If you're dumb enough to play the game, well, suffer the consequences. Yeah, people in your show...
But that's more of a... That's more like... it's not really a thing that you should be doing. It's like a more of a promotional video. It's still stupid, but it gets views.
Yeah, but people do it, apparently, in your shop.
Yeah, but they don't do it correctly. Because
I put something on my blog. Okay.
Because one person should invest an unopened pack. So if the guy rips a rare or mythic card, so he gets a pack.
Yeah. You just do it for the fun.
Yeah. It's like Russian roulette. Without the prize money.
Yeah. If anybody...
You play for Russian roulette, okay, there are two options. You either die or you don't die. What's the point?
I would rather not play, sir. I mean, if anybody offered me to play that game in your shop, I would just tell them to suck on something and carry on with opening a booster. Although, with my luck with opening the boosters, I would rip some really janky rares, so it wouldn't be much of a trouble. I never open good cards, so... I open less good card in... New Phyrexia, so... And that was a Praetor. I mean, I opened the Cryptoid, right? So that's kind of a money card.
I think my best one ever was... I played, like, Modern once. I played Modern, like, once, which was at the end of last year. Built, like, a Modern deck just with the cards I had lying around because I thought it might be good. I, like, out of a tournament of, like, 40... I think it was, like, 43, 44 people, I top-8ed. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. Got, like, you know, 10 booster packs as prizes. Hit Misty Rainforest. I'm like, yes, this is the best.
Damn.
And that was probably my best route.
That is the best.
Yeah, I know. It was like, oh, my modern deck was actually pretty good, too. So, that was probably one of the best days of Magic I ever had.
Why did you play?
Mono red control. It just kind of fucked everyone in the butt, like, what? Really hard. Yeah, what? It was like it was just Blood Moon and Snaring Bridge, and anything that Blood Moon and Snaring Bridge doesn't handle, Pithing Needle does. So, I don't know, I won with, like, Planeswalkers. So it was like,
what?
Blood Moon, yeah, Blood Moon and Snaring Bridge, just go to hell. Then, like, stuff like, what's it called, that stupid 0-1 with I forgot the name of it totally, but it's like a 0-1 with Exalted, whatever it's called. That thing
Signal
attacks...
Pest.
Sorry?
Signal Pest.
No, not Signal Pest.
No, Noble Hierarch or what?
Yeah, that's it, Noble Stupid Hierarch. Yeah, that thing. Lightning Bolt as many of them as I can, and that's it. Then I went with like with either Koth or just Death by Chandra Pings. Like Chandra Pyromaster, just ping for 20 turns, and that was it. Oh, that was great.
Make sure you need to build this deck.
But I thought that all mono red decks are control decks, because if you when you kill a guy, you wipe his board.
That's a point.
That's true, but the game doesn't really go for much longer after that. The trick is having them still in the game, but sitting there frustrated and horrible because I can't do anything. And then you just sit there, and you just death by Chandra Pings. And that's it.
Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet?
That was great.
Wow. That the deck sounds like a lot of fun, even though it doesn't have blue in it.
Yeah, it's
wow.
Definitely.
I'm well, just
my modern deck.
Now better deck.
Yep.
And also I gave my girlfriend a mission the other week. I was like, can you find me dual caster mage? Because I want to put it in Jorian so I can write a replication that million times.
Lol.
But she was like, I'm going to take a look and see if I can find anything. And like 2 hours later, yeah, I found it. What the hell? She was like, do you want judge foil or regular? Okay. Didn't expect this one, but give me regular because I'm not made of gold. But I'm really thinking, awesome. Should I save up some of the tip money so I can just get that judge foil? I like foils.
I stopped investing in foils, actually.
Oh, I never invest in foils. If I can get a foil randomly, I'll get it, but I'm not actually hunting for those.
I don't look for foils anymore. I just thought, after a while, I just kind of thought, no, really, I am wasting money. I only get foils for foil dragons if they happen to be around. But otherwise, I'm like, no, it's just bleeding my wallet dry, and Magic does enough of that normally, so I won't bother.
But I want one foil really, really, really much.
Which
foil
one?
Japanese Alicia who smiles at that. That's the thing I want. That's the thing I want. Because that's my favorite commander deck, and I really want to have that as at the helm.
I think commanders, I've thought of upgrading my Zeraarian from Chronicles to Zeraarian from Legends, like, in the past. But I think the coolest commanders, actual commander cards, is if you get a good altered art version of them.
Oh, yeah, that's also a thing.
Yeah, I have a full art Karthus that I trade an Emrakul for once, so I'm like doing my Karthus, for headlining my Karthus deck. That looks really fucking sick. But other than that, I'm like, no, I don't really care about foil.
I'm trying to find how much would I have to give for the Japanese one, but I'm currently not...
Your soul.
I doubt it, because it's Alesha. If it were a Force of Will, now that would be another thing. Player, help me out. I mean, you guys keep on talking because I'm looking at the cards because I'm drooling.
Cool.
So.
Gee, guys, don't make this awkward.
You basically had a altered art Karthus.
Yes, I do. He looks pretty cool. It was like, I kind of got him because some guy came around. I went to, like, I think it was the one time I went to, like, a GP here in Sydney. And some guy had, like, been practicing his art-altering skills. He was actually looking decent. He had, like, a stack of things. And I had a stack of Emrakuls I wanted to get rid of because I decided I hated Emrakuls. So I just traded all my Emrakuls for a bunch of... I got a Karthus. Actually, I think I traded three. There was, three Emrakuls. I traded one for an altered art Karthus, which looks... pretty good. I traded one for an altered art Runescarred Demon, which looks amazing. It's one of the best alters I have. And then I traded another one for a foil Niv-Mizzet, which was actually kind of alright at the time. I don't have too many altered art cards, but I like them.
I have one professionally altered card.
Yeah.
That's Angel of Despair. Angel of Despair altered into Sarah Kerrigan, Queen of Blades.
That's sick. That's awesome.
Give me that picture, Nixon.
I don't have a picture of it.
You'll make it.
I'll make it. Okay.
Peter, I sent in the Skype chat Nixon's Reaper King that he made.
Oh, that's yours. That's awesome.
Yeah, the Scarecrow.
Oh, that's epic.
I also have one where I also made one where he's Slender Man.
But you know what's the best alter Nixia ever made? Planes that are just, a plane card.
That's
the best one.
Brushed out in the entirety of the card except for the planes at the top. That's it.
I want to have, like, a mono-white deck with 40 of those, just to have them.
Well, you just need enough sandpaper and you're good.
Yeah, no, I use nail polish remover. That also works.
That probably works a lot better than sandpaper.
I reckon it does. Damn. I think we have been rambling for long enough.
Yeah.
So,
I don't think there's anything else that we need to cover. We shield your thing. We're going to put a link to your blog. Maybe it doesn't make you to actually, make a blog post. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Yes, I know. I've got several plans. It'll happen soon.
Ish. Soon-ish.
Ish. That's a good way to put it. Ish.
So, any last words, Peter?
I love you all, and this has been fun.
Yeah, I mean...
And read my blog.
You're welcome to come at any time on the show. This has been a blast.
Yes, it's always been fun, man.
All two times that we've done this. Well, now we have this the same amount of podcasts as Nick Shahad wins with Wings of Hate.
Cool.
Good sample size, good sample size.
Oh, by the way, I didn't win any games.
Of course you didn't. No, you...
Even when I did get off, when I did play it and people lost only one third of their cards, they still had a better board because I just paid 6 mana to do actually nothing.
No. You won that game. You won that game.
I won it in spirit.
Yeah.
No, I support that.
That's a moral victory.
Yes.
When you gamble like that and win. You should have just scooped right there and be like, okay, I did my thing. Carry on. Here's a free win.
No, he should have scooped that. It's like, oh my god, you just did it. I could beat you, but that was too good, so here's a win for you.
I don't think that the guys in your store will ever do that.
Some might, I don't know.
They are too spiky for that. They just want to win, and that's it.
Except when Conspiracy comes. When Conspiracy 2 comes out, then we're going to have a blast.
Oh.
While
you guys will be cracking conspiracy packs, I'll be here serving guests, I guess.
We'll save some there. For you.
Oh. I mean, I can always order a couple of boosters and play Pack Wars against Tessa, I guess.
No, you have to draft conspiracy.
I know I have to, but only person that'll be here for the summer most likely will be my girlfriend that, you know, can actually play Magic. Everybody else around here, not so much. So I don't even have enough for a draft. So I can't really do that. If I could draft, I would buy a whole box and, you know, let's draft it away.
How? Well, when you get over here, you can always jump by and get the draft in.
I mean, I'll be there in October, I think. Is it October? I'm not really good with months. September? Yeah, October. I think I'll be there in the middle of October in Zagreb. So if we can work something out.
Sure.
If we'll remember that in like 5 months. So, any last words from you, Niksha? Except for the whole I didn't win the game.
No, I'm pretty much done.
Well, this has been episode whatever of the Elder Dragon Dirtle podcast. I'm not good with numbers. I'm senile and it's been a long day. This has been your host, Igor, with my co-host, Niksha, and our guest, Peter, signing off. As always, the Emperor protects.